charge Jinergy! Put in your booby rocks. Live your best life. Keep doing you.
Background, Jeff, I love one F. I'm like, what am I doing with these two F's? What a waste.
You know, nobody ever pronounces the second one. I quit using it.
Yeah.
Like, forget this. I'm going to make it simple.
Nobody ever goes,
they're
hey,
like,
Jeff.
Is it Jeffrey? No, it's not Jeffrey. What kind of horrible name? What am I, a giraffe? What is this?
Actually, Jeff Jones's name is Jeffrey.
So is mine.
Jennifer's my government name. Only when I'm in trouble.
You know what's crazy? If I was a girl, they had me slotted as Jennifer. That's what it was going
to
be.
Yeah. Not to get crazy, but what year were you born?
78.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I was 76, and I had to be at least one of 12 Jennies in every class.
Yep. I was 79, and I have personally met like 4 Jeff Joneses. Not including the ones I haven't met, like the principal from Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Like his name's Jeff Jones. Like there's a lot of other
Jeff Jones. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yep. The husband from Beetlejuice. I think he was the husband. He was the husband in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Not the Alec Baldwin one, but Lydia's dad.
Yeah. He got in trouble for child stuff.
Jeff Jones. How many people look at your name and go, oh, 2 first names? I hate that because I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you for pointing out what I've always. And then how many people call you Jeff Jones? So they just don't call you Jeff. Oh. They have to say the whole thing.
Most people like one word, Jeff Jones.
Yeah.
Or, like my sister or my sister and niece, they pluralize it. Jeff Jones is like, there's a bunch of me.
Yeah. Cause there are.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
People love saying the whole name. I don't understand.
Yep.
Super weird. And I used to be called Harry Jeffrey back in the day. That was my name.
And Harry's your original last name?
Harry's my original last name. Yeah. Because they would be like, what is it? Like happily Jennifer. And then they'd be like, Harry Jeffrey, are you here? And then some people would be like, you know, if your name was Richard Jeff, then you'd be called Harry Dick. And I was like, okay.
Right. Okay. I used to work for Richard White, and then I asked if his medical record said White Dick. Burr, burr, burr.
I love that you just made that noise. Burr, burr, burr.
Do you remember the name of our assistant principal in middle school?
No. Oh,
Dick. Dick Biter.
Yeah.
Wait, what was his name?
Dick Biter.
B-I-E-T-R.
That's his name was Richard Biter, but he chose to go by Dick Biter.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I had someone that took us to the ballpark, Charlie O's dad, and he had us drink near beer before we went. He had us at a bar in 5th grade drinking near beer. And then I was like, thank you, Mr. O's, even though the beer was like horrible. It tastes like piss. It was just like, who drinks this? And then he turns, he goes, call me Dick O's. And I was like, oh my God. He told me I can swear.
Yep. All right, kids, get back in the van.
My husband's grandma would let them say a few swear words in no matter what. Because she didn't consider them swear words. So when they were at her house, they could say shit, ass, damn, and hell. So they'd be yelling it out the windows as the car backed out. They were like, shit, ass, damn, hell.
Getting it out of their system.
And then they had to zip it once they got out of the truck.
I love how it was like a whole word. It's just all merged together.
Yeah.
Ass, damn, hell. It's like that George Carlin. He had like eight words you can't say, right?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. Good times.
Well, I love it, Jennergy. That is a dope name. Jennergy is an amazing name. I'm usually not a fan of Jen, but Jennergy? Oh, Next yeah. level. Next
right,
level.
Right. Just having a great time. Sean Jeff Jones, this is actually my hand back here.
Doesn't that look like a tiny
hand? Tiny.
Oh, that looks like such a tiny hand.
Wait. I know,
I know look at
my hand looks like my dude.
I feel like I got giant hands compared to you guys.
I have to like say this is one of my favorite interviews so far because I've never tried the tiny hand technique. Look at this hand.
She kept doing that. That's what she was doing earlier.
Oh my god.
A mess.
Like,
are those real?
A small child is like, hey, get me out of here.
Like my little Vienna sausage fingers. Oh my god.
What is up with you? Just blew my mind with that. I'm doing that in every one from now on. It looks like you have small children that are you're sitting on them.
Right.
And they're like, help me! Help!
So dumb.
Please let that be our photo when we
yes.
are
okay, Jeff. Tell us something about you.
Oh, yeah, we gotta get serious. We gotta have a. We have topics to discuss. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm your co-host.
Yeah. The hairy one.
Oh.
The hairless hairy.
The hairless one. Jeff, get your act together. Wait, which Jeff are you talking about? Who are you referring to? You're referring to Jeff or Jeff?
Right. Yes. Jeff. Oh, I almost said Jeff Jones because that's usually.
I thought you were gonna. I was waiting for
Jeff.
A question.
Jeff with two F's.
Yes.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Oh, this is awesome. I love this interview. This is one of the most my most of my interviews are so boring. They're not like, you know, I wouldn't mind if they were horrible, but when they're just meh, it's like going on a mad date. You're like, ugh. I wish it was just horrible so I would have a good story to tell after.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they're like, hello, I'm going to read your bio, then we're going to go to some questions, and then we're going to wrap up, and then, okay.
Too much.
So I've done like 150 of these since like March of last year.
Yeah.
Right? Just for kicks. Just because I was like, I want to do a new way of marketing.
Right.
And then what happens is it's really good because you get really good at talking about your stuff.
Yeah.
But then also you get these really good sound bites and then you're like, oh, this is amazing. But then you get really bored of your own sound bites because they're like, okay, here's my sound bite. I was just like doing a summit the other day. I was recording for one. And as I was reading, I was like, okay, I'm getting bored of my own talk. I got to stop this. This is just stuff.
And we're done.
And we're done here.
I do laughing meditation, and right when the timer goes off, I'm like, done.
Okay, so I'll tell you, but please stop me in the middle, as I'm going to tell the weirder version.
Okay.
So I saw the movie Big when I was a kid. Do you remember that with Tom Hanks?
Oh, yeah.
He's dancing on the piano. He gets offered a job to play with toys, to literally play with toys. So I saw that and I'm third grade and I was like, done. That's what I'm doing for the rest of my life. I went to F.E.O. Schwartz. I started dancing on that piano and no old white dude came to offer me a job, which was super disappointing.
Especially so when you're what, eight? That's sad. Yeah, I'm sorry about
eight,
that.
Seven, eight.
I thought you were going to say you were dancing on the piano and no looking back.
No looking back. I was like, where is the chopsticks, baby? You know, and then I remember doing that. And then I started writing toy companies on my word processor. And I just didn't stop writing them. So from like 8 to 15, I just wrote companies. At first, it was just like, hire me. And that was it. And then later on, it was like these really thick, long 5-page letters telling them all of my ideas. And then sometimes I felt like they stole my ideas.
And then they would
send me these form letters back because I think they thought I was an adult. Because like, what kid is writing typed out? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's so interesting now that I'm like telling it in the slower way. Finally, 15 years old, toy company writes me back and is like, you should go into mechanical engineering. And I'm like, oh yeah, That's exactly what I'm going to do. I should not have listened to them. They went out of business like a year later.
Oh, it was snap.
Like crossbows and catapults. I think they wrote me back. Like Cap Toys wrote me back. Anyway, went to school, graduated the engineering degree, got to work in the toy industry, and then hated it. I don't know if you've ever gotten exactly what you wanted, but then been so disappointed when you get there. But like no high fives, no kids, no toys. Just cubicle walls, padded wall. Why do they pad the walls, by the way? Cubicle walls is very concerning to me.
To shush your moans of agony.
So when you're beating your head against it, you're not
exactly. Just be like, help me. And then I left.
Did you at least get a big trampoline up in your place?
No. I didn't. But I did. I now have things like this. Hello.
Indoor basketball hoops, sweet.
In my other place, I do have a trampoline that I bounce on while I'm like doing interviews and talking to people. Anyway, yeah. So then I left New York, came to the Bay Area, bumped into an organization that was paying $150 a week to play with Lego for a living, teaching kids engineering with Lego. And it was a joke of a job. There's like seven people, but they got paid to play. So I was like, oh dude, I'm going all in on this. And me and a bunch of other nerdy people helped build it into one of the largest Lego-inspired STEM organizations, like in the U.S. Nice. But we did it, and we had no freaking idea what we were doing.
That's amazing.
We were just making it up as we went along. We picked cities that we thought were fun. We picked people that we thought were fun. We failed miserably all the time. We were like, let's do Hawaii. Okay, maybe let's not do Hawaii. Let's do Wyoming. And we don't want to do Wyoming. Like, this is how we decided on, just, you know, just whatever was playful, whatever was fun. But anyway, after like 10 years, we started teaching about 100,000 kids a year. And then Silicon Valley started paying attention to us and was like, hey, do you do team building events? And we're like, yes, of course we do. No, we didn't, but we just right. said yes to anything and everything.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, for the next decade, I was running team building events for the top tech companies like in the world. And they would claim to be disruptive, innovative, risk-taking, all these things. But in my opinion, I felt like a lot of them weren't. And it was because they hadn't created like a psychologically safe space to play and actually take risk. Right. So I created Rediscover Your Play, combining positive psychology and play to help like navigate difficult conversations, deal with that a-hole at work, you know, talk to your inner critic, you know, get your staff in flow, like all the issues, like toxic masculinity, all these issues that I felt no one was touching. And I was like, yo, there's a way to do this with play and positive psychology. So that is the synopsis.
Nice.
That's amazing. What's been your favorite part outside? So if you could take the play part, is there something that has really just blown your mind as part of this business?
I mean, this kind of blew my mind last year, or 2019 now. Oh my gosh, it's so long. Is my friend Gary Ware and I put together a workshop called Dealing with A-Holes at Work Through Play, right?
Nice.
Like just this ridiculous name of, we came up with this at a burrito shop in San Diego. We were just joking around.
Yeah.
Right. And then we were like, hey, let's just run it at like a conference we're going to, this fun conference, World Domination Summit. It's amazing. And then we ran it and we had so much fun that we were like, let's apply to real serious conferences.
Yeah.
And then they said yes, like South by Southwest, this conference in Australia called PauseFest, this place called Inbound in Boston. Like serious places wanted to do this ridiculous workshop. And then we started getting paid to do it. It's just like, it's just, yeah. And then we won some awards for it, which is super freaking weird. But it was because no one wants to talk about a-holes. So we're like, we'll talk about a-holes. We're gonna talk about them all day. Right. So yeah, like it's crazy now that one of my jobs is to help eradicate a-holes from the workplace. I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know Jeff Jones could definitely use that over there.
You know, I feel like everybody is somebody's a-hole.
Yeah.
You know, I think I get along with everybody at work, but I'm sure there's somebody there who thinks I'm an asshole.
You know? Yeah, but if you asked a team who is the a-hole, everyone knows. Everybody knows. Yeah. Like everyone's going to point to that person.
Right.
Yep.
But nobody does anything about it. So that person is just like hanging around like, hello, hello, you know, and it's just like, is, you know, What? Yeah, exactly. And the someone just mentioned this to me, like, what is work culture? Work culture is the worst behavior tolerated.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's true, right? So it like doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. If like Chad, for example, sorry, Chad, but if Chad, for example, freaking Chad is like being rude to everybody and everyone's like, this person's been here for 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's just what we do here.
So. Yeah. And then it's funny when they just kind of get a free pass because you're like, well, that's just how Chad is. Like,
that's just how Chad is.
It's yeah.
Just
like, and you're like, well, that's okay, but I don't have to accept that.
Exactly. Right. Like, why is Chad allowed to do that? Well, why? Chad just punched somebody. Am I allowed to do that? Why is that
Chad
allowed?
Chad just threw a stapler? Is that okay? I have staples in my melon right now. Is that all right? That's, oh, it's just Chad? Okay. Well, I'm going to just start slapping.
Brother-in-law? You know?
Yeah. And it's just amazing how they just hang out forever. And you're just like, what's going on here? Yeah.
And when they hire people in their handbook, it'll say like, we have a culture of fill in the blank, which is opposite of Chad.
This is always so many businesses I've been like those posters on the board, authenticity, you know,
right.
Get each other's back, you know, and those are the worst organizations because you know, if they have it on their wall, you know, they're not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. When you get called into a company, how far into the corporation are they? Or do you find it with newer companies are more open to your concept? Or do you find that longer term?
It's all over the place. I ran it once for the Department of Homeland Security. So you know, right? So it's interesting who says yes, because you don't really know. But also we obviously change the name when we go into an organization. We're like, oh, dealing with toxicity at work. You know, we're not like, all right, who's the a-hole, everybody? Yeah. Let's point to that person. Because usually the person in there doesn't even know. They don't even know they're in.
Gotcha.
A lot of times.
Typical a-hole.
Yep. Yeah. And no one stood up to that person in a really long period of time. Yeah. So we like a lot of times just talk about like setting boundaries. We actually will practice what you would say with that person. Like a lot of my workshops are like role play out that hard conversation.
Right.
Because that's the hardest thing. Like if you think about like, you know, where do y'all live? Do you live in the US or Canada?
Yeah. I'm in Tennessee. He's in Michigan.
Okay. So, you know, football, right? Yeah. Like, they practice all week for Saturday and Saturday for college football and Sunday for, you know, NFL to do like a 3-hour game. They practice all week for that. Yep. Yet when we go to work, we get no practice, like no practice on how to have a hard conversation, no practice on how to facilitate a hard conversation.
Yeah.
Like how many managers do you know that are horrible at their job? They got promoted because their last job, they did well at their last job. Like they sold the most amount of trinkets and now they got promoted and now they are like telling other people how to sell trinkets, but they suck at it. That happens all the time, but no one's letting anyone practice anything at work.
Yeah.
So no wonder we suck so bad at everything.
Yeah.
Spot on, man.
Right. Like here's a tiny hand high five.
Yeah, don't get me started on like the 8-hour workday. Like I have like, there's just so many issues in the workplace. We're just doing everything backwards. It's crazy.
Yeah. Dang, that is so amazing. When you're doing that type of training, do you actually use toys or do you just implement concepts around play?
No. Sometimes we use toys. I mean, my colleague Lauren and I, we have a workshop called Navigating Difficult Conversations. And sometimes we bring in the scapegoat. Hello, the scapegoat. Because when you're like blaming this goat for your issues, right? You're like, you're blaming this inanimate object. You start to realize like how ridiculous it is. Like fucking goat. Do you know what goat said to me the other day? The passive aggressiveness of goat.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, this sounds really stupid. Okay, I realize it because this is what we do all the time, right? Like we're like, want to blame somebody. Someone is like, you know,
Yeah.
You're sabotaging my work. And it's just like, dude, you know, stop being the hero in your own story while everyone else is like the villain, you know?
Right. Yeah. 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 Well, do you have any events coming up? I mean, where people can find you? Are you going to be at any
Eventually, I'm doing the Hivery Summit, which is this really interesting summit run by this founder, Grace, out of San Francisco, who used to be like a professional dancer.
Oh, okay.
Second, so like the 30th, and you can sign up for free. It's like a free, and I'm running a workshop on how to navigate the new normal.
Okay.
Yeah, because like we're going to go and I'm hoping that our pre-pandemic normal, we're not going to go back to that. And that we're going to come to like a more shared humanity post-pandemic normal. Because like people are just not going to tolerate crappy work environments anymore.
We can work away from home and it's possible. You know, we for sure aren't going to spend our time at the office with crappy people getting treated like crap. The thing is, we're all here for, and it should be for the greater good of whatever we were hired to do.
Right, right. And also you have to think about it like, what micromanagers have nothing to stand on anymore.
Right.
Right. Like, yeah. I need you in the office so that you can do this because I know you're not going to be productive at home. Well, guess what? Now I'm productive at home. How many people are going to be like, I don't want to go back to the office? I'm hearing that a lot from clients.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, I'm done with that. Like, why am I commuting 2 hours a day? Apparently, it's 8 years of our life to work just so you can babysit me at work. Like, come on, man. Like, come on.
Not only that, I think a lot of companies are realizing too that if you just keep those people at home, that at work, I don't know about at least at a buddy of mine's work, most of the office people get paid to work out. They get office vehicles. They're using gas. You know what I mean? But by keeping them people home, now you're saving all that money. They don't need a vehicle. You're not covering their gas. You're not giving them lunch. You're not paying for their lunches. You're not paying for them to work out. You're not paying for them to walk around the office and chit chat.
Yep.
You know, so honestly, even at home, even if somebody does 6 hours out of an 8 hour day of work at home, that's more than they're doing at work.
Right.
Dude, so much more. I was going to say there is an actual study done. So like, you know, where does the 8 hour workday come from? It comes from 1817. This guy named Robert Owen came out with like 8 hours of work, 8 hours of leisure, 8 hours of like sleep, right? But then it was not actually implemented in the US till like 1926 by like Henry Ford, when like the Great Depression was in the middle of it and people were dying on the assembly lines because he was overworking them. So he basically implemented the 8 hour workday and then doubled everybody's salary. Like that's how much he was exploiting, or just the industries were exploiting all these workers. But then since 1926, 94 freaking years, and now 95 years, nothing has changed around the 8 hour workday. So it's just like, why are we even doing 8 hours? So then a recent study came out, I think from Inc., that found that people can only do deep work, actual quality work at their job for 2 hours and 51 minutes of a given 8 hour workday. So then what are people doing for 5.5 hours?
Right.
Because I think the workday is now extended to like 8.8 hours or 8.5 hours. Yeah. So what are people doing at the office? Looking at bullshit emails, looking for other jobs, a lot of stupid meetings, so many freaking stupid meetings.
Oh my gosh.
And then on top of that, this guy just wrote this book. I forgot what the author's name is, but he wrote a book called Bullshit Jobs. The amount of BS jobs that are out there, middle management jobs that if you remove that person right now, nothing would change, is so significant. So there's all these people now working at companies trying to justify jobs doing BS paperwork. Like how many people are doing reports on the work that they're doing?
Right.
Which is also a waste of time because they're actually not doing the work. They're doing the report on the work. So there's such like, there's such a waste of time.
Yeah.
And I think it was Keynes, like the economist, that basically said, this is an economist from like the 30s or 40s, expected by the 1970s for us to be only working like 20, 25 hours a week. Because he was going to be like, it's all going to be all automated. But because of capitalism and the selling of like, you need more stuff,
right?
Like, we persuaded people that they have to work more, yeah. Which is crazy because really we don't need to be working this much.
Make us sick.
I know. Finally, someone gets it.
Yeah. And it, Jeff Harry had hair before that analogy.
Exactly. No, I mean, even in Spain, I just saw this year, they're talking about 4-day work weeks.
Yeah, I have heard a lot about that.
Like no, you in Japan, IBM did a study where they had them only work for 4 days out of the week, more productive than with the people in the U.S. working 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And in America, we just love like attaching self-worth to productivity, right? And being like, I'm so busy. Oh my gosh, you don't understand all the business. Like we pride ourselves on being busy,
right.
But we're not really productive.
And it's literally making us sick. Literally. Because the more you work, the more you're trying to relax, the more you're trying to do everything else. And then it's
the
just
more you're stressed out.
Yeah, it's just a
strain
cycle
on everything. Yeah. Every aspect.
There was this really good book called Your Money or Your Life, which was all about like, you know, getting your finances in order. It's an awesome book and also so painful to read because what she has you do is she has you add up all the money you've made in your entire life. Oh, when you add up all the money you've made in your entire life and then you look at your savings, you're like, oh my gosh, like where did it go? But the other thing she does, which I think is so smart, is she goes, what is your real hourly wage? And you're like, well, what do you mean by that? And she goes, okay, well, I want you to calculate all of the money you spend on happy hour. How much money do you spend on alcohol at home? How much money do you spend on therapy? How much money do you spend on Netflix or whatever, or shopping therapy? How much money do you spend on shopping just to dress for work, but then also just to deal with like the pain and suffering of dealing with job? And when you add all that up, oh my goodness, you go from like being paid 75 an hour or 40 an hour or whatever an hourly rate to like, it looks like $8 to $9 an hour.
Yeah.
And you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you're more likely to quit that job because it's making you unhealthy and get paid less because you'll actually get paid more because you won't have to spend all this money
like
dealing with coping, all these coping mechanisms.
Yeah. Dang, I love that. I love that. Dang, that got real serious real quick. We went from jumping.
Wait, you want me to start, man? I mean, you like, get me going. I know what I'm doing here. Like, you get me going. I'm gonna get going.
We just went balls deep into that.
Yeah.
Oh, you just went balls deep. You know Dion Cole. You know Dion Cole, man. I love Dion Cole. You know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm gonna send you this comedian does a whole joke. Called Balls Deep. It's hilarious. So funny.
No, Jeff Jones did a meditation for men.
Called Balls Deep?
Oh, we get balls deep into meditation.
In the meditation, yeah. You should listen to the meditation that implement into your workday.
Oh my goodness. I want a balls deep conversation. I've done a lot of these, but I've never said balls deep so many times. I don't think I've ever said balls deep once on a podcast, so this is already memorable. They gotta go balls deep.
Right.
I said it earlier today at the drive-thru of Burger King.
What the?
Hoffa's remains. Capone's vault. Area 51. All mysteries have the same thing in common. The missing piece. Hello, I'm Nathaniel Westmond. Here to tell you about a fascinating new series coming soon to So Much Genergy. Moving picture theater. Art in its most pure form, Technicolor. So please, join me, Nathaniel Westman, curator of this innovative film series, Moving Picture Theater, where together we take a deep dive into the maelstrom of the heart and soul of film. See you then. Cinema Raw. With me, Nathaniel Westman. On behalf of So Much Genergy, film everything.
Where in Michigan are you? Oh my goodness.
Why? For your underwear? What happened?
Can we go on a tangent for just one moment about pizza? This is a random tangent. Okay, so I make a lot of these stupid TikTok videos. I just love making them there for myself, whatever, right? So I posted a TikTok recently where I lip dubbed of Jon Stewart railing on deep dish pizza in Chicago. Now, I live in Chicago right now. I'm from Chicago. I also live in California. But he just rails on. He's like, deep dish pizza is not pizza. It's like, it's soup in a bread bowl. It's a freaking casserole. You know, it's like, you know, like you have to like climb in it like a tauntaun in Chicago. Like, why is it so big? He's like, what else did he say? He goes, I don't want to have any type of pizza where if I get drunk and I fall into it, I'm going to drown. Like, that's how people like, just go after deep dish pizza, which I agree with, because it's like, it's not pizza.
Right.
It's like, it's just way too much. Right. Anyway, so I posted it, you know, I don't know, 17,000 people watching it, you know, quite a few people watching it. But then these people came out of the woodwork from Detroit, you know, and like Ohio and like that area. And they were like, you need to try this Detroit style pizza. And I'm like, being that you're like in Michigan, right? You know, have you ever tried Detroit style pizza?
What does that mean?
I don't even know what that means. It's like square pizza. I was like, they were
dish? I don't even, I'm not sure what a Detroit
just called style. Detroit style. So it's like, and they were serious.
It was serious about
and
it.
And I'm in search of the best pizza of all time. I'm in search of the best burger and the best pizza of all time. So if you guys have suggestions, I will fly. I have done this. I will fly. I have flown into San Diego just to get a burrito.
There's a place here called, there's two places. There's one called Mid-City Grill. It's kind of.
Wait, you're in Nashville?
No, I'm in Johnson City.
Okay.
Tennessee. And it's just called Mid-City Grill, kind of like a, just a little dive place, open all night, has like a 5-pound, oh, maybe it's 10 pound. You know what I mean? That you like, if you eat it in a certain amount of time with 4 pounds of fries, you can.
Right. You die, but you also
have a medical emergency. Sure. Right. So 4 of us split that one night and it was so good. Their burgers are so good. And there's another place here called the Burger Bar. It's in the hotel. It's amazing. It's so good.
Man, don't tempt me.
Yeah. So if you ever go to Asheville, we're about 45 minutes from Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh my gosh, I was in Asheville like October 2019.
Yeah.
We were at some retreat, Montreat. Is that what it's called? I don't know what it's called. We were at some retreat center.
Okay. Right near Asheville. Cool. That's real cool.
I looked up Detroit style pizza because that got me thinking, like, what is it's just deep dish pizza. Deep dish pizza.
Oh,
they get a little fancy and they mention it, that it's the characteristics of a Detroit style pizza is the soft and airy square crust, the crunchy exterior, the caramelized cheese that edges the pizza are all due to deep pans in which the pizzas are baked in. Yeah, just deep dish pizza.
Square. That's weird.
It is kind of weird.
Those people don't speak on behalf of everybody here.
Yeah.
Some of us are normal. We just call it pizza. Right.
I think, too, they just want you to come to Detroit because they're rebuilding it. And
they're rebuilding
it. They're excited about it.
It's coming back.
It is cool. I really do love it down there. It's a good time. Yeah. So your workshop, you said how to navigate the real or the new normal?
How to navigate the new normal.
Okay. Where can people find that if they're interested?
If they're interested, they simply go to the hiverysummit.com.
Okay. And you is it H-I-V-E-R-Y?
Yeah, V-E-R-Y. Okay. Yeah. I can send you a link after this.
Okay, cool. And then what if people want to find you, Jeff Harry?
Oh man, if they want to find me. if they want to find me on TikTok, Instagram, Hulu. Find me on Hulu. Find me on Netflix, people. Find me on Discovery Plus. I just found out Discovery Plus is a thing. I'm at the handle Jeff Harry Plays. So JeffHarryPlays. Or you can go to rediscoveryourplay.com where I have a bunch of play experiments that you can do to like learn more about who you are and how you tick in this world.
Yeah. Excellent. I love that. I love how you took your engineering degree. You moved it more into the play side, but really the psychological aspect of it. And it's really just can literally change people's lives. So I love that. It'd be awesome if we stay in touch and we can kind of keep, you know, supporting you on where you're going. And
I always like to get a boost of Genergy. Oh, yeah. Did you see that with the small hands?
Right. That's why, like, this is my drink a can of Genergy.
Oh my goodness, she's got the Genergy. Dude, that is great branding. I mean, we need to get on that.
I drew it.
That is a t-shirt. That is a drink.
Have you had the scale
today? Yeah.
We can even do a commercial right now. Genergy. Are you feeling sluggish? Are you feeling stuck? Everyone's always feeling stuck all the time.
Right.
Are you feeling stuck? Are you wondering what to do next with your life? Try Genergy. From the makers of Jeff Jones canisters, try Jeff Genergy.
All right, well now what we do is, this segment we do is pep in our step. So
pep in our step.
Yeah, something cool that we can talk about real quick for our week. Like that's coming up, or just that we, something awesome that we wanted to share.
Ooh.
And yeah. So Jeff,
sorry,
I'm Jones.
In this voice. I can't get out of this voice now. Oh yeah. Now it's just turning into a Kool-Aid voice. Oh yeah.
All right, Jeff Jones, what is your pep in your step this week?
Jen, I got two things that are pep in my step.
Okay.
One, I started watching this series, and I believe it's on Netflix. It's a limited documentary series called Earth at Night.
Oh,
now, I love watching animal documentaries, a lot of Nat Geo Discovery type documentaries. And this one that's called, it's called Earth at Night. And they have these cameras that some documentaries I've watched have used, where they're not night vision cameras, but it takes a little bit of starlight or moonlight.
Okay.
And it basically lights it up like it's daylight.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can see mountain ranges. You can see mountain ranges like 50 miles out.
Oh, dang.
Like, but it's not, it doesn't have that weird green.
Is it black and white?
No, it's not like, yeah, I would say it's closer to black and white than it is like, you know, a lot of night vision cameras.
Yeah, yeah. When you're looking at the animals, I watch these. Yeah.
And their eyes are glowing and stuff. It's not like that. You don't see that.
Okay.
It looks more just real washed out lighting.
Okay.
But it is badass. But this Earth at Night, there's six episodes. It's a limited series. And they each episode pretty much covers a different biome. Like they'll go from the one episode's about the desert, one's about the jungle, one's about forest, ocean. Okay. They go into one about the cities. And a lot of the cities they show are in India, Mumbai, places like that. And these cameras at night catch like two people walking down the street, and like 20 yards behind them is a cougar.
What?
I mean, well, it is weird. And there's like one of the,
the city one. This.
I loved every episode of this, but the city one blew my mind. I just went into it thinking like, what are we going to cover? Possums, raccoons. I got a lot of
that. Right, right.
But no, these were like, there's a herd of elephants where Mumbai was built right in the middle of where this herd has been migrating for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Oh my gosh.
And still today, it migrates through the city to the other side because that's where the grazing and the grasslands are.
Yeah.
It's always gone to.
Right.
And what it does is one elephant will navigate through the city at night. It shows you how like desensitized these people are. Just like, oh yeah, there's an elephant. Just like they're just carrying on with their day. Elephant walking through the city. Yeah. It gets all the way to the other side and it's a major metropolis and it grunts and has like a series of grunts that it does until the other elephants find, like they can, these grunts can be heard up to 100 miles away.
What?
And so this, the rest of the elephants take the, and the elephant, the first one that goes kind of sets its path by its scent and everything as it's going. And it takes all back alleys, all back roads.
Oh my gosh, it's
the weirdest thing. And all these animals get through the city right over to it. And they do this every year.
Whoa!
But just the amount, but just not only that, but just the animals at night, everything about it just blew my mind. Every biome, I didn't think the ocean one would be that cool, so I saved that one for the last. It was badass. I should have known.
Yeah.
So that's been putting pep in
my step. Earth at Night.
Earth at Night, it's called. Okay. Yep, it's on Netflix.
That is dope.
And then while the wife and I this weekend were out people watching and doing things like that at the hotel, we had caught a documentary. And I'm a fan of Tina Turner. I've always thought she's a great voice. I've always liked that she was a woman who proposed herself as a rock and roll singer. And she never really was pop. She never was like blues. She's always been pretty much rock and roll.
Yeah.
Not so much today's conventional rock and roll definition, but back then. Yeah. And we watched a documentary on Tina Turner and it blew my mind. You know, she's still 82 and good looking.
Yeah.
But like, her
legs are.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. I always thought as a kid that dad used to have the top 10 countdown on MTV. And yeah. I believe What's Love Got to Do With It was like number 3 at that time.
Yeah.
But I watched that video a lot.
Right.
I used to think that this is going to sound weird, but the lady that lived next to us, Haley's mom, was hot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
She was hot and she looked spot on like Tina Turner.
Yes.
That like when I
dry,
saw,
crispy hair, up, ratted, yep.
Yeah. She's and when bartender. I saw What's Love Got to Do With It, I would have swore up and down that that was her.
Yeah.
But again, just to see, just to learn, I found out a bunch of stuff about Tina Turner. I mean, of course, we all know like the Ike Turner situation and just all of that, but it was so much more ups and downs for her than just that, especially after that.
Yeah.
So again, Tina Turner and I'd say Earth at Night, putting pep in my step.
So great. That's awesome.
Simply the best.
Better than the worst.
Spot
on. How about you, Jeff Harry? You got a pep in the step this week.
I mean, first, I think I got to give a little pep to a little Jennergy. Jennergy. It's a juice and an energy drink at the same time. Jennergy. Vitamin B and vodka.
The only laxative that'll back you up.
So that's the first one. I mean, this has been one of the weirdest, most interesting podcasts I've done in a long time. So I'm quite excited about that. Tomorrow, what's interesting, I'm going to be on this podcast called The Dateable Podcast.
Okay.
Where they actually break down like dating and like, you know, all this stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
And they wanted to get a play perspective. I'm horrible at dating. So I probably am not the best person to talk about this, but I'm going to be on this podcast talking about play and dating. And that is going to be hilarious because I don't have a clue on what I'm going to say, but I'm excited for that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's adding a little pep to my, and apparently it's like one of the top dating podcasts like in the country.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to be like, oh, great. Jeff, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, well, I have a horrible track record. So let me give some advice.
Right.
Is that always the people that give the most advice or should not be giving advice? So that might be me.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be good on a dating show. Only because I've been married 25 years.
This is what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be giving advice from like, you know, 1998.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't drink. So the only place I could meet people was at the salad bar.
Hey, listen, all the good guys are at the salad bar. Salad bar? What are you talking about? At the Sbarro's. You don't know about the Sbarro's at the mall? What are you talking about?
All right. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to make another joke about Cinnabon. I was just like, let me just keep going with these mall jokes.
I love
Don't
Sbarro's.
Get me started, Jennergy. Yeah. I'm getting some Jeffergy because of your Jennergy.
Yeah, I have some pep in my step this week because I actually have two classes and a comedy show.
Ooh.
So tomorrow I'm doing a speaker / comedian / presenter class. Where I'm going to teach them, you know, how to come out and be charismatic and, all that fun stuff, and I'm excited about that because it's a mix of people, so I'm excited for everybody to meet in there. And then Wednesday, I'm doing a live event, so I'm doing a monthly meetup on Wednesday where I will do some inspirational, motivational mindset trainings, and then
nice.
30-minute comedy show for them. That'll be
Right after the motivation, be like, you can do it, but now I'm going to mock you.
Now then, here's some funny stories just about my own life. And then Thursday, I have a live comedy show in South Carolina. So I'm excited about that.
Where? What's the venue?
Golf course.
Wait, are you serious? Really?
Yeah.
Like,
golf course.
In Lake Wiley.
Lake Wiley?
Uh-huh.
It's called Lake Wiley's Golf Course?
No, that's the city that the golf course is in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you on like hole 11 or 12?
Yeah. No.
Higher the hole.
No, but you know what? It's supposed to be
Jeff
like,
and I are going to do a commercial right now. Yeah. Come at Lake Wiley. Jenny McKinney is going to be coming in on Thursday to the Lake Wiley Golf Course. She's going to be doing some comedy at hole number 11 and 12.
Ooh. But her laugh will be heard on all 18 holes.
At all 18 holes. Make sure to pick up. You get a free Budweiser with your ticket.
Show up and putter down.
Two drink minimum.
Winner drives her home.
Yes. Watch out. She can only drive a golf cart because that's as much as she can reach. It's okay. Yep.
Oh, wow. She's gonna, yeah, I love it, man.
Meaning to pitcher's wedgie.
Man, I used to do stand-up comedy, and it is tough, man. Some of those venues, woo.
Yeah.
Some of those venues are like, this is the worst.
How did I get hooked?
I have, it's actually, I didn't realize it was going to be, so the guy putting it together was messaging me, and he's like, hey, we built you a platform, and I was thinking like,
You're short?
I'm like, well.
There we go.
Okay, so then he's like, oh, it's outside.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
Oh, hell, oh, okay. Like,
is it during the, I hope it's not during the daytime, because that's just comedy.
Crunching up with a mega horn, like you're just going to stand there like, oh, you're just, so the whole golf course can hear you.
I love it. Just screaming at people at the 18th hole. You're going to miss. You're going to miss.
So then I find out today the weather is like 70s all week here, except on Thursday, 42. I need to knit a wiener warmer before I go.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. You're like, hi, everybody. This is my turtleneck. Let's get started with these jokes. I can see my breath.
Show up in a down comforter.
That'd Why are you wearing your sleeping bag?
Duvet. You just have a duvet on you.
No, I'm in a show in a sleeping bag.
Oh, my goodness. Well, have an amazing show.
And yeah.
Thanks so much for having me on this
fascinating
podcast.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I've had some
good
times. I will be bragging about this podcast to other people to join it.